Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for taking the time to listen. It's Graham here, and it's good to be back with you at the start of a new week. Today's Bible reading, as we continue with our theme of taste and see, comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, reading from verses 17 to 33. This is what we read there. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls? Or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Sin as far as Rehob near Lebo Hamath. Going north, they passed through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Telmai, all descendants of Anak, lived. The ancient town of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, which means cluster, because of the cluster of grapes the Israelite men cut there. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Well, to put this reading in context, what has happened is God, through the leadership of Moses, has led the Israelite people out of captivity in Egypt, where they had been slaves. And he had led them through the wilderness, having stopped off at Sinai, where they received the Ten Commandments. And now he had led them here to the border of the promised land that he said he would give to them. So Moses takes one representative from each of the 12 tribes and sends the 12 men into the new promised lands to see what it is like. And that's the story we read there. And as you heard, as the 12 men came back, they came back carrying the produce of the land It was a beautiful land. It was a fruitful land. It was flowing, they said, with milk and honey, which was just a term to say it was really had everything we could ever dream of. 10 of the spies, however, while even accepting how good the land is that God was giving to them, still were overcome with fear. They saw the difficulties. They saw the problems. People looked like giants before their eyes. They saw the battles that would have to take place. They felt their own smallness and weakness in the face of everything that was to come. It was only Caleb and Joshua who stood up and said, "No, we can surely do this. The battle will belong to the Lord. If he has promised us this land, if he has taken us out of Egypt to give us this land, then surely he is able to give it into our keeping and into our care." But the Israelites went with the 10. They allowed fear to rule the day. And because of that, well, the whole Israelite tribe had to wander around the desert for 40 years until the time was right again for them to go in and claim the land. In our theme of taste and see, the Israelites had been given the opportunity to taste and see the good, bountiful, generous future that God had for his people and for the lovely land that he was giving them where they could call home. This very land that had been promised generations before to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they had fallen foul to the curse of fear. Caleb and Joshua had faith, but the other 10 had fear. And that fear spread like gangrene amongst the whole Israelite group. I find this one of the most challenging passages in the Bible. It's one that almost terrifies me of how near these people got to the promised future and fulfillment that God was giving them, and how they were within touching distance from it, tasting distance from it, and they just pulled back in fear and in weakness. The curse of fear against the courage of faith. What most marks you? What most marks me? When we try to be disciples of Jesus in our workplace, is it faith or is it fear? When we try to talk about him to others, when people even say to us, "Oh, what were you doing at the weekend?" And we struggle to find that we can't even admit to say that we were with our church family. Faith or fear? When we believe the Holy Spirit is prompting us to go and do something for him, to go and have that conversation, to go and do that act of kindness, to go and even apologize or whatever it may be. Is it faith or is it fear? When the Holy Spirit is asking us to step out of our boats of comfort and security and walk in the water, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, what do we do? Are we marked by faith or are we marked by fear? You know, fear is okay. Fear is a God-given emotion. Fear is a sensible thing sometimes. Fear is what tells us to take our foot off the accelerator pedal as we're coming up to a sharp bend. Fear is what tells us to just take a few steps back from the edge of that cliff that we're peering over to see the beautiful views. There are many times in life where we need to heed the warning of the emotion of fear. And even Jesus knew fear. He demonstrated that in Gethsemane as he contemplated what the next few days were going to bring to him. Sweats of blood dropped from his head. He was so anxious. "Take this cup from me, Father, but your will be done." Jesus knew fear, but he still chose the path of faith. You know what they say, courage is not about the absence of fear, but courage is the determination that fear won't have the final words. How do we overcome fear, not the good fear, but the fear that cripples us from stepping out and being the people that God would have us be? Well, two verses that might help us. One is the verse that tells us, well, we overcome fear by being childlike and trusting in our Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. This is what it says. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as children, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Children very often are going through the most terrible of situations and circumstances and have no idea what's going on because their mum and dad are just staying calm and staying in control and making the decisions and keeping everything right, and the kids can sleep tightly and be at peace because mum and dad are in control. God says, I want you to be like that with me. Trust me, I'm your father and your dad. Don't be filled with a spirit of fear, but seek the spirit of adoption and just come, Abba, Father, I trust you. So that's one verse that helps us. Trust in the Father. The second is be empowered by the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So we trust the Father's love. We trust the Father's provision, but so too we trust the power of the Spirit within us to give us the strength, to give us the words, to give us whatever we need in a situation to be obedient and to step out. So let me ask you this as we close. Where is God perhaps calling you today or through this week not to live in fear, but to move in faith? Not to be held back, but to grow into being the people that he wants us to be, in the power of his Holy Spirit and trusting the big, strong arms of a Father who has got it under control. Let's pray together. Father, we so understand the Israelites and their fear. We feel for them, Lord. We identify with them, as on one hand they had the vision and the taste and the dream, and they could see all that you had that lay before them. But they focused on the giants. They focused on the problems. They focused on their weaknesses. And fear grew and fear spread and fear controlled them, so that they pulled back from fulfilling their calling and destiny at that time, rather than to go in the faith that their God was with them, that their God was able, that their God was going to fulfill his promises to them. Father, would you show us the areas in our life where we mimic their behavior, where we have gone so far with you and yet pull back in fear, where we have a vision and a dream and a desire and a calling even to rise up into some sort of ministry or obedience or gifting, and we get so near and we can see it so clearly, but fear just cripples us and paralyzes us and stops us being who you have called us to be. Father, help us this week to trust the strong arms of our Father, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, through that spirit of adoption. And may you empower us by your Holy Spirit to break from us the spirit of fear and timidity and to breathe within us your Holy Spirit of power and of love and of self-control. Help us overcome our weakness. Help us overcome our fear. Help us to taste and see that you are good and become the men and women, boys and girls, you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.